Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What seasonal concerns might affect our eye health? Let's go in-depth with Dr. Jason Mosdam with Eye Health Solutions in Knoxville. Well, Jason, as we're doing this interview, it's bitter cold, it's snowing outside. Do you see seasonal changes, needs, conditions that patients have?
Sure, yeah, and thanks for stopping by the office, by the way, today, too. And, you know, almost needed the sled dogs today. But yes, thanks for coming in. And we do see some seasonal changes based on time of year. Obviously, we have some stuff that revolves around the school calendar, but weather-wise, this time of year, when it's cold and the air is dry, we'll definitely see an uptick of people being bothered with dry eye related symptoms. You know, whether that's burny, scratchy eyes, fluctuating vision, you know, those types of things. You know, in the spring and fall, we'll see some more allergic stuff as pollen and stuff starts to kind of come on board. But this time of year, just like your skin gets dry and you start to notice some changes there, we'll definitely get that in the eye.
Well, what do I do if I have that?
So dry eye can be, you know, sometimes we think of it as just like chapped lips, but that's not really fair. Dry eye, for those of you out there listening that have dry eye know this, it can really be a quality of life issue. That vision can constantly fluctuate. It can be painful. You know, the eyes can be achy and sore. Our concern is long-term. If someone has chronic dry eye disease for years and years, it can actually lead to scar tissue and permanent vision loss in the cornea. So it can really be a much more serious medical condition, you know, down the road. So the key is to get it diagnosed and find out what it is and not just live with it. And then we can talk about treatment options, whether that's a simple over-the-counter artificial tear, maybe it's a warm compress at night. Sometimes we need to use medicine. There's different medications like Restasis or Xiidra that we can use that are effective to treat it. Sometimes we got to tell people to turn the fan off that's blowing, you know, in their face, you know, some things that seem, you know, kind of obvious, but aren't.
So is the damage sort of like if, you know, our skin is continually rubbed by something and we build up a little callus and maybe even some scarring? Is it the same thing for our skin as the lens of our eye?
That is exactly what happens, and that's a great analogy, and that's how I'll explain it to patients. And it's not the lens in the eye, just to clarify that point. It's the cornea, mm-hmm. or the front window of the eye, you know, that's damaged, and that's that long-term irritation. You know, the eye can heal up if we get it, you know, addressed. The eye will heal back just like your skin will heal, you know, if you create the right environment. But after years of having that, eventually the eye will form scar tissue. You know, that's your body's response to that. And if that's on your arm, maybe no big deal. But when that's on your cornea, scar tissue is not clear. So then we can't see through it, you know, and your cornea needs to be obviously clear in order to be seen. So scar tissue on the cornea is a bad idea.
And can we do anything about that if it's too late?
So if it's too late, you know, if you've had chronic dry eye for 20 years and your cornea start to scar over, really then the only hope is a corneal transplant, you know, or, you know, a surgical transplantation of the cornea using a cadaver, you know, cornea. But the key is to not get to that in the first place. And there's no way we should ever have to get to that point as long as we're catching that stuff and treating it effectively. Treating it early.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Jason Mosdam with Eye Health Solutions in Knoxville. If you have dry eye, you know you have it?
No. Yeah, I have a ton of people that'll come in and think, oh, my glasses have changed because my vision's fluctuating. And your vision doesn't really normally change from hour to hour or moment to moment. So that's one of the things that we key in on. If it's like, boy, my vision in the morning's pretty good, but by the end of the day, I'm having a hard time seeing my computer screens. And that's really what this comes down to is, you know, our world that we live in, we're not very well adapted to yet. And staring at, you know, two 25-inch computer monitors and smartphones all day, you know, causes a lot of different strains and stresses on the eye, and one of them is not blinking. And when we don't blink as much because we're staring at these screens, that's going to disrupt the tear film. Medications that we take, you know, whether it's allergy medicine that we can get easily over the counter or some prescription medicines, especially things that dry your mouth out, cause dry eye along with it. So the combination of all these things that we see a lot more of in modern society kind of create the perfect storm for dry eye.
Do you see it in an examination?
Absolutely, yeah. And part of that is just listening to patients too. So I'm listening for that fluctuating vision. I'm listening for, you know, eyes that burn. It sounds kind of counterintuitive, but, you know, if your eyes tear a lot, that can be a sign of dry eye disease because the eye is trying to make more tears to compensate for the really the instability of the tear film. And then there's different types of dry eye. So we have to listen, you know, are, do they just not make enough fluid? Do they, you know, are the oil glands dysfunctional where the tears evaporate quickly? You know, is it from a medicine that we can get them off of and change? You know, do they have a systemic disease like arthritis or lupus or, you know, fibromyalgia? Those things can also cause, you know, dry eye disease. So it can be a very complex thing as we get into it.
It might be in my imagination, but it seems like we had a lot more snow on the ground in the winter when I was a kid. And we always used to worry about, you know, they would say snow blindness because the light, the reflection.
Sure.
Do we still have to worry about that? Is that something, or you probably call it something different nowadays?
So, well, snow blindness, and certainly if you're around snow or water, anytime you've got a reflective surface, that sunlight then will reflect off the snow into the eye, giving you essentially a higher dose of ultraviolet light, and that can damage the cornea. We had an eclipse not too recently, and of course the UV light from the sun is the damage. So anytime you've got water or snow reflecting, you know, you have an increased chance of more UV damage. And that's what snow blindness is a UV burn or essentially a sunburn to the cornea. And snow increases that because it's really reflective, you know, so that's where the issue is there. Today your odds are very low, despite there being a little snow, there's not much sunshine today. But if you go up, especially in the mountains and go skiing, you know, you'll see everybody there either with sunglasses or goggles, you know, not only because of the high altitude, but the, you know, the really high reflectiveness of the snow, you know, there. So, but yeah, so that's definitely a thing. We just don't have enough snow here where it's been really a big problem. So,
well, one of the things that I've noticed in, maybe I'm the only one, but sometimes in the winter, sort of a hazy sky can just seem so bright. Do you see that too? And it's like, I can't even hardly, it's hard to even drive sometimes.
It is, yeah. And this time of year, if we can kind of go back and remember your science classes and remember where the Earth is in position to the sun in the winter and how we're tilted, the sun angle is very low in the winter. It doesn't get up very high overhead, even though in the summer we have more sun. In the winter, because that sun angle is low, that sun is in our face a little bit more, and that creates that appearance of that haze. And like I said, I almost think you need your sunglasses more in the winter when the sun is out than you do in the summer. When that sun's directly overhead, yeah, it's bright, but it's not right in your face. When that sun is low on the horizon, it feels like you're always looking at it.
Okay, so that's it. And so sunglasses are suggested. Is it especially for kids? We really want to protect the kids' eyes.
So, I think so. I mean, anybody wants to protect their eyes, and we're not too worried, you know, if they're just out playing for a little bit outside for an hour or so. But if you're outdoors for an extended period of time, several hours, that's where you're going to want to have that protection. But, you know, I'm not too worried, you know, from your kids getting from the bus, you know, to the car. But if they're going to be out for several hours, then you want to have that sun protection. Just like, you know, kind of think of it like sunscreen. If I'm outside for just a little bit, you know, I'm not too worried about sunscreen for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, depending on the day. But if I'm going to go to the beach and be out there for several hours, you know, then we want to protect them. And that's where sunglasses come into play.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Jason Mosdam with Eye Health Solutions in Knoxville. any other seasonal things we need to be thinking about with respect to our eye health?
So, not really. You know, as far as winter goes, you know, the dry eye and then the sunglasses more so with that low sun angle, which you had mentioned earlier, Bob. You know, it's hard to think about it this way, but our spring allergy sufferers need to start already, maybe start paying attention, because in a couple months, that's going to be here. And some of those folks, you know, got to be prepared, you know, as far as using different eye drops or anti-allergy drops. They'll sometimes start those maybe a month before that season kicks in and be a little proactive before trees start popping. Hard to think about today with this cold and windy and yucky, but we know how quickly that can change. So.
So you start that in March, February?
Yeah, there's different eye drops that we can use. And so we have some patients that we know are going to get spring allergies every year. Some of these drops take a few weeks to kind of get your immune system ramped up. And so we'll actually start those maybe a month or so before they actually need them. So that way when allergy season hits, their immune system's up and ready to go and they don't have the whole beat down from their allergies when they kick in, because we never know exactly what time those trees are going to start to pop and bloom. So we like to be proactive on that on the front end, so those people aren't miserable for a few weeks waiting for their medicine to kick in.
Well, it's 2018 and technology advances at a pace that we can't even hardly comprehend unless we're specialists in the field. Is there anything in that relates to our eye health, technologies related to it that we need to know about?
There's a couple things that have changed in the industry out there, just to comment on. And it's not so much a technology, you know, it does use the internet, so it's more of a delivery, you know, mechanism, if you will. But you're starting to see kind of the advent, and it's not just in contact lenses, but you see this with razors and other things where clubs seem to become popular. And I don't know, Bob, if you can remember, I used to be in a book club where you would get books.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then you'd have books mailed to you. I think for, you know, CDs and tapes back in the day, it was tapes, right? For me. So there, a lot of people are like, what are cassette tapes? But anyway, for those of us that can remember, there used to be these clubs and you would sign in and you'd get your X amount of those for the month. So we're starting to see kind of the advent of those. We're starting to see that come out in contact lenses. Where there's now contact lens clubs where you join, you pay a monthly fee. I think the minimum is about $30 a month. And then they ship you contacts every month, you know, to kind of cover that. The main thing I want people to understand with those is the current clubs that are out there, or at least one of the main ones, is using a lens material that is 20 years old. So that lens material is old. It doesn't transmit oxygen very well, and it doesn't stay wet. You know, it dries out quickly. They've kind of put them in a fancy box and done some slick marketing to make it look good. But from a contact lens performance standpoint, we have some concerns. The oxygen transmission in a measurement that we use is about 18. The newer lenses that we use have oxygen transmissions over 100. So 5 times the oxygen through a newer lens. I kind of explain it to patients. This is like getting an original iPhone. You know, yeah, it kind of works, but you'd much rather have your iPhone 7 or iPhone 8, you know, which is going to be much, much better. And that technology in our world in the contact lenses has changed a lot. And then we also have to understand that these lenses, we fit those per individual. As we were talking before we started the interview, we used 40 different lenses in the last month alone to fit all our different patients. You know, a lot of these clubs will have 1 or 2 lenses and that's it. And they're trying to fit those, you know, on every individual. So just be aware, make sure you're talking to your doctor, you know, about what lens is right for you, and don't make the assumption because of an ad that's a great lens for you, you know? And so we gotta be a little careful with the, when we see those, and understand that contacts are prescribed to the individual and we want the best contact that we can on the eye.
Well, they can have the best marketing and the best packaging and the greatest convenience, but if they don't work...
If it doesn't perform, yeah. It's like, wow, that phone looks awesome, Bob. That is so cool looking. How does it sound? Terrible. I can't even make a phone call. It drops calls all the time, you know, and so non-functional. Yeah, so pretty doesn't mean better, you know, in that respect. And we know with that particular material, there are definitely some performance issues, you know, with that. That might get better over time. Maybe they change. I don't know, you know, but, you know, that changes the cost structure too. And even at $30 a month, that's certainly not pocket change, you know, either. So anyway, make sure you're talking to your doctor about, you know, the best lenses for you, and, you know, don't be swayed by what you saw on TV with a pretty box or slick marketing.
So just don't get up and dial that 1-800 number before
No, they are a prescribed device, and they're regulated by the FDA, and they're regulated for a reason and prescribed for a reason, just because, again, everybody has different needs.
I would guess that if some other people are like me, even if it worked, I would probably just keep ordering it, and I would probably neglect my visits to the eye doctor.
Yeah, that's one of the concerns, is sometimes we worry that the verification of these prescriptions, you know, or the okaying of them isn't done. And it's a lot like if you just kept going to the pharmacy and getting your pain medicine, you know, at some point the pharmacy's got to say, hey, we can't just give this to you forever. And we have concerns that sometimes those prescriptions are being filled even without a valid prescription. So yeah, and then people aren't getting their eyes checked, and if there's a complication or something missed there, you know, they could have some long-term health ramifications there. So just being aware, you know, and making sure that you're paying attention to those things. Our goal is always to make sure when folks, you know, as we all get older, we want to make sure that we continue to have good vision, because we can't replace eyes. And I tell them, you know, my patients hear me tell them this all the time, is we want to make sure the two that you have last, because they are irreplaceable. So, you know, checking the pressure and doing, looking inside the eye at the retina and doing all those things that we talked about for years, quite frankly, Bob, doing these little sit downs, you know, are just critically important.
Thanks to Dr. Jason Mosdam for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.